Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, it's Southpaws, episode... I don't know. But hey, we're still alive. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And it's been a month, hasn't it? Like, I think it's been a month.
November.
Febtober.
Yeah, there we go.
Fuzz, do you know it's already pumpkin spice season?
I know, right? I love my new pumpkin spice mask.
Like... I updated my Twitter name to a pumpkin spicy squirrel, so you know I have a good, really good fall username. The Starbucks have the pumpkin spice latte signs out. I'm looking forward to.
They also have pumpkin spice Corona.
Yeah.
If you saw that article,
I did. I what the one about the gag rules?
No, it was like Somebody that was asymptomatic corona went to a Starbucks and like 21 people caught corona from this one Starbucks.
Oh, geez.
And all of the baristas were wearing masks though, so none of them got sick.
If you're gonna go out, wear a mask. Also, potentially looking forward to the return of pumpkin spice shredded wheat. But you were saying, Fuzz.
I was gonna say maybe hold off on the pumpkin spice. I mean, I don't know, maybe hit the drive-thru.
Yeah, I mean, they got a drive-thru at best, so, like,
yeah.
This week, it's all drive-thru, baby, because, like, we went to Whataburger today, went to the drive-thru, as we've been doing, and, like, Tanther's birthday is tomorrow, so the day this episode comes out, and, well, we can't go out to the Black Eyed Pea in Arlington. We can't really go out to eat anywhere, so if anything, we've got some steaks we're gonna probably cook tomorrow.
But that's like a good idea.
His aunt sent him a very expensive fancy cake that should last us like, well, it says it's good to be frozen and thawed for up to 6 months, and it's this enormous 7-layer praline cake, and I'm just
that's nutty.
Oh my god. Well, what sucks is that it has nuts all around the exterior, and Panther doesn't like nuts. But we'll work with it.
Right. He should be picking through a lot of pralines, I guess.
Yup. But it has been a while, and we're still here. The furry fandom has not burned itself to the ground, somehow.
Yep.
There's always someone showing their ass in new and exciting ways. And, you know, sometimes it's just the people that are out there to get the attention and play the victim.
Yeah.
So, Fuzz, this one that has been popping up today, the Peace Wolf or whatever, isn't she like the former con chair of that TulsaCon?
Yep, she is the former con chair of Tales and Tornadoes, who got run out of con staff on a rail for going to the mat to defend having a homophobic guest of honor. What's funny about that is that the former guest of honor has since apologized and donated a bunch of money to the Trevor Foundation, or the Trevor Project. It says that she's going to continue to donate whatever she earns from her art sales for the rest of the year to the Trevor Project. So that's good. At least that person appeared to, like, come around. This was with the person who, like, back in, I don't remember what year it was, said something like the, she didn't agree with the lifestyle, but her heart was with all the people that got killed at Pulse. It was on, like, the night that it happened, basically. And, hopefully, you know, it sounds like maybe she basically said what I said was stupid, it was dumb, I'm really sorry, and like she made a pretty heartfelt apology and then donated to the suicide thing. So hopefully she's Peace Wolf, on the other hand, is just doubles and triples down on her bullshit. And today she was posting the All Lives Matter, and you know, she thought it was racist to only help one race. And someone replied to her, it's like, yes, all lives matter, but right now the black lives are the ones that really need help. She replied, what do they need help with? And I'm sort of like...
It's like, they got television in Tulsa, right? They got Twitter. You can see the news.
Yeah, they got Twitter. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just bullshit. Like, you cannot possibly be unaware of what's going on in the world. So I don't know what kind of fucking stupid game she's trying to play. Just some stupid semantic moving the goalposts kind of argument. But yeah, like someone was like, "Are you watching what's going on?" And they were like, and she replied something like, "Oh, the media only chooses to report on certain things, as if like an equal percentage of white people are being gunned down by the cops on a regular basis."
Well, see, that's the thing. A large number of white people are shot by the cops. It's still disproportionately against minorities, but white people just accept it. So, you know, the answer is not, well, we accept it, why don't you? The answer is, you, white people, us, we should be getting mad about cops shooting people randomly. Because it's not just shooting people, white people, but also, like, autistic people and stuff like that. You posted a thing today, Fuzz. It was like, god-awful, what, Miami?
Miami PD, yeah.
It was like, yeah, check out our new autism cop car.
Autism awareness. So they're like, we're partnering with Autism Speaks, an organization that autistic people and their advocates almost universally hate, in order to raise awareness about autism in this really bright, super godly wrapped cop car. And you know, the tweets I saw were pointing out that like a lot of autistic people have issues with like overstimulation, and like this cop car is like just like a rolling trigger, you know.
Yeah, and like the one that I was gonna say,
not to mention the fact that, you know, there are instances of cops gunning down or otherwise using excessive restraint on autistic people because they don't respond in the manner that the cop deems that they should, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, instant unwavering, but also somehow conflicting orders, and then they just shoot you because you didn't do the hokey pokey correctly. And the tweet that I linked in the podcast fan chat listed a number of names, like Elijah McClain, Charles Kinsey, Ricardo Hayes, Iyad Halak, Oscar Guzman, Iyad Halak, and then Halak, I think two people, well no, those are two different people with very similar names, one H-A-L-A-Q, H-L-A-K, but these are all people that are either shot or beaten by police. There was an incident, I believe, in
downtown Dallas,
in Arlington, here a couple years ago, where a autistic kid was having a breakdown, and the cops just came up and shot him in the fucking face. Rather than do the mental health check, they're like, "Oh, you can't have mental health if you're dead."
Yeah. There was the other one. There was a guy from Rockwall, I think it was, and he happened to be in downtown Dallas, and he was having a a mental health incident, and they didn't shoot him, but they restrained him in such a way that it restricted his breathing, and he died.
Yeah,
and not having proper training to deal with mental health issues, and then being like, we're going to advocate for autism.
Yeah. It's no different than cop cars going with rainbow flags for Pride Month and then immediately disappearing them the day after, because they'll still, you know, beat people up for being queer or attack trans people on the street for, you know, existing, and then arresting them if they have condoms in their purse. Stuff like that.
God. Yeah, that horseshit is unbelievable.
And really, the police are still being awful fucking ghouls. And, you know, the most recent incidents in Wisconsin where the cops just fucking shot a dude 8 times in the back for no fucking reason. Like, he...
Seven. I don't mean to downplay it, but...
Well, I thought I saw a thing where he had, like, an 8th wound in his back. So, either way, it might have, like, been a bounced bullet. Who knows?
He lived.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I saw reporting on, like, the first night that he had died, but that was wrong. But this dude was breaking up a fight. Cops got called. They show up and just shoot him in the back at point-blank range. There's never a point where some fat pig should ever do that. And the thing is, if we didn't have it on video, he'd be dead or just disappeared. Just nothing would have happened. He would have been murdered in front of his children. and yeah. you wouldn't have heard about it. But the His only reason
spouse and kids were in the car right in front of them.
That this even got out there is we have modern technology that allows us to watch the supposed watchers. And it's insanely fucked up and that they think they can just get away with this. And of course, there's been fresh protests and fresh rioting that is well deserved. There is a Department of Corrections building that was burned down in that city, which I could say is a good start.
Absolutely.
But things are always getting heated. And further, like, we have white nationalists playing with the blessing of the cops. A 17-year-old came and mm-hmm. murdered two people, actually, who tried to stop him. And then when he went to go surrender to the cops, they just let him walk on by because they know what side that little fucker was going for. He showed up, was wearing gloves, 17, having a weapon that's illegal for him to own. Like,
mm-hmm.
he went across state lines, which makes it like federal involvement.
Yeah.
And then he just drove home. And he did turn himself in because if he didn't, he would have been gotten found out and they would have found his body.
And he turned himself in his hometown because the cops where he actually shot three people, killing two of them, didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah, he just walked on by them. And that, again, this is on video. Like, unmistakably on video. And you have these right-wing ghouls, these pigs trying to paint him as, oh, it was self-defense. Motherfucker, he went across state lines to protect a gas station. He was just standing around with the Boogaloo boys and decided he was going to take a shot. He shot somebody in the fucking head. He shot someone in the chest who tried to disarm him. Mm-hmm. And, like, he shot somebody else. I'm not sure where they got shot, but this kid, 17, when I was 17, I was being a sad gay on MUDs. I was embroiled in live journal drama. I wasn't going out and murdering people. That's insane. And it just blows my mind that we have these fascist little shits, fascist zoomers,
that
would show up and do what many of these Boogaloo shits want to do. Right? Mm-hmm. The adults have something to lose. They've got families, probably. They've got their guns and their truck. This 17-year-old little shithead, well, he didn't have that same level of impulse control. And so he fucking did it. And now, well, here we are. It's only been a day since that occurred. And been a real fucking shit show. And of course, you know, they call him a shooting suspect from the fact that everything he did was on video. And the way the right-wing media...
I hate that, and it's dumb, but...
It's for legal reasons.
I think that they legally have to do that until he's actually found guilty at trial. They have to say that allegedly he did this, and he's a suspect, and shit like that. And of course, you know, on the same point, though, they also turn around and they're like, Michael Brown robbed that convenience store. You know, they just say that without any caveat. You know, George Floyd was passing a counterfeit 20, so, you know, clearly in America that's a capital crime.
And this dude here, and now they're trying to say that the guy that got shot in
Kenosha.
Jacob Blake, oh, well, he had a knife in the car. I can buy a knife at a fucking truck stop. I can buy a knife at Walmart. I can buy a kitchen knife at Kroger and have it in my car. That's completely and totally legal for them to have. Like, they're just trying to find the barest hint of, like, oh, well, you know, this guy, he was no angel.
Yeah, and there's multiple things that piss me off about that. You know, number one, who fucking cares? He wasn't in his car when he got shot. It's not like he could whip it out and stab anybody with it, right? Number two, it was legal. And, I mean, and number three, even if it had been a gun in his car, well, that didn't help Philando Castile, who was legally concealed carrying a weapon, and he told the officer that, and he still got shot to death by a cop.
Yeah, he was doing everything right, and that didn't stop anything. You know,
even if this guy had a fucking nuclear bomb in his trunk, that doesn't justify shooting him in the back 7 times for breaking up a fight.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely asinine and ridiculous. And fuck the New York Post for even thinking for a second that that was an appropriate headline to run.
Well, they're right-wing rag. Their whole thing is making white terrorism look fine. Because, oh, look, this boy was cleaning up graffiti, you know, still wearing the gloves. And then same picture of the kid walking down the street very calmly with a gun after murdering people. No big deal, but he was a good boy. He was cleaning graffiti. And then the guy that was shot, you know, they find a picture of him is looking as urban as possible, right? You know, it is very much optics. It's all about being like, you know, trying to make the actual terrorist look, you know, like, oh, well, he's just a good white boy. And this happens all the damn time, too. It's like, oh, it's a picture of a white guy with his wife and two kids, and then you read the headline and he's a murderer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus like, oh, you know, this guy was, you know, beaten by the cops and they'll run a mugshot of him if he'd ever been arrested. So, I mean, you're definitely dealing with a lot of fucking propaganda.
Yeah. It's all fucking optics and marketing, and it's just, I didn't want to get all ragey. I've been all ragey all day just from the sheer stupidity I've been witnessing on Twitter.com. I mean,
and that's part of the reason why we haven't sat down so much, because like, there's not a lot that's really been good to talk about. It's like, this shit's, it's bad. And
it's bad and it's just getting worse.
You know, we're rapidly careening towards November and all that nonsense. You know, we've got the fucking RNC and Trump being like, haha, 12 more years. I'm like, motherfucker, if you live another year after this because your fucking health, I'll be surprised. But, you know, they're flaunting the fact that they want to be a fascist dictatorship. They put forth their fucking, like, 50-point plan where they're talking like, oh, we're going to strengthen the cops and end cash bail. And by that, they mean keep people in prison until their trials. Things like teach American exceptionalism and other such fascist nonsense. And it's like, god damn. The national mythology of this country is so fucking bad.
It really is. Like, the bullshit that we tell kids about America and its actions. And
like, to kind of shift it slightly, like, the most recent upcoming Call of Duty game is set during the Cold War and has you fucking taking missions from goddamn Ronald fucking Reagan. Like, it's like, but if this comes out, it'll be a war crime. And the guy's like, everything we do is a war crime. We've got rehabilitation and valorization of Ronald Reagan in our goddamn video games because, well, the Reagan happened in the mid-80s, and that was 35 years ago. It's like, well, guess what? The kids that are younger than us, you know, who grew up in 2000 and earlier, they don't know shit about this. So it's just like, oh, haha, Ronald Reagan, I don't know anything about him. And then they don't actually know how much of an awful shit he was and the absolute damage that we're still dealing with to this day. Things like homelessness, the war on drugs, all sorts of awful tax issues, corporate control, deregulation, hell,
ignoring AIDS,
that was a major one. It was so funny because earlier today I was watching the Gamescom opening night, which Gamescom is a European game thing, and the guys on Giant Bomb were doing like talk over for it, and they got to this trailer for Call of Duty Cold War, and when Reagan came on screen, the chat was just boo, boo, fuck you Reagan, boo, fuck you, and it was really funny because there was a couple people like, hey, I'm a European, what's the deal with Reagan? And they're like, do you got a couple hours? Like, everyone was just like, god, this guy sucks. This sucks ass. And I was like, it's true. Because, you know, we tell our kids all this shit. It's not so much what we teach them, but also what we don't teach them. You know, it's like, we don't talk about the Native American genocides nearly as much as we ought to. There's a lot of shit that, you know, even you don't hear about unless you take specialized history courses. The fact that the Tulsa Race Massacre only came into popular consciousness because of the goddamn Watchmen series. Watchmen, you know.
Yeah.
And people are waking up to some of it, but even then, you know, you have these nitwits. Communism was trending on Twitter because of course, and this some dumbass from the American Jewish Council, some Zionist shithole group, was like, for those who think that Soviet communism wasn't so bad, consider agitprop, antisemitism, arbitrary arrests, censorship, the Great Terror, Gulag, Holodomor, Katyn, JGB, Lubankya, sham elections, show trials, millions lived in fear, millions jailed, millions killed. That was Soviet communism. I'm like, motherfucker, we've got all of that right now. The Great Terror was basically persecution of minorities post-communist revolution. Gulags, state prisons for political enemies. What do we have at the fucking border? You know, Holodomor, well, we have a national food crisis. We have homelessness that we don't treat. It was an intentional famine. And guess what? We're not taking care of our poor people either. The Katyn massacre, yeah, we haven't massacred a huge amount of, like, conquered military people yet. But then again, we did do Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, the KGB, we've got fucking ICE and the FBI. Sham elections, show trials, we haven't got there quite yet, but give it a couple weeks. You know, all this shit that these people say, we've got the same shit going on here in the United States. And that's the thing, too, is like, with all the violence occurring at these things, and the fact that the cops aren't gonna fuck with people who are armed, a lot of people are going like, oh, you know, maybe we should buy guns, maybe we should arm up. And it's like, that's reasonable, and that, you know, if you can afford it and your mental health accepts that, that might be something you should do. If you have a partner or family members that don't want that, you need to respect that too. And it has been pointed out, like, by Dio specifically, that one thing that everybody should have if they're going to protest is not necessarily a gun, but a first aid kit. And that's the kind of stuff that helps mitigate the damages doled out by the police or the militia or anything else, is being able to take care of individuals who are hurt rather than, well, pop off and dome a cop or two and then they go live fire too, and it all becomes a big nasty mess. I wouldn't shed a tear over a few domed cops, but that would go really poorly for everybody else around you. So a med kit, that's a lot better. Like, she talks about some of the stuff that she has, like, you can buy them online pre-made, but, you know, stuff that have, like, nitrile gloves, a mylar blanket for people going into shock, Esril gauze, hemostatic gauze, chest seals, which that sounds like such a dire thing to have, but basically they're big patches to go over, like, bullet wounds so that you can regain intrapleural pressure for the lungs, trauma dressings, combat tourniquets, EMT shears. EMT shears are cheap as hell. And like, you can buy these kits pre-made, or you can make your own. If you have a military surplus store near you, you can purchase older kits pre-made in some cases. Now, like, you might have to throw out some of the stuff that expired, but things like gauze, as long as they're not, like, brittle, you can probably just use that stuff, and it's surplus, but it's, you know, military grade. You know, get yourself a 3-pack of EMT shears off of Amazon. They're like $10 maybe.
Yeah, I think Ajax probably has some stuff like emergency first aid kits and things like that.
Yeah, like, in handy. Amazon has EMT shears. Oh, they're a little bit more expensive. $6.95 for one. But some of them have multi-packs that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
A 2-pack is $12. So yeah, they're like $6 a pair, but those are designed for cutting clothes off people. They're also really handy to have in your med kit at, like, conventions. If God forbid you have to cut someone out of a fursuit that's passed out.
Ooh, that would not be good.
That would suck for the owner, but also if they pass the fuck out while in suit, and the EMTs get them, well, they're going to get sliced out of that regardless. So, but they're useful for people that are wounded that you need to get clothes off, that you can't get their clothes off normally. And it's so fucked because I've seen, like, we're entering, what, month 3 or 4 of protests in various chunks around the country. That, like, I see people, you know, doing things like how to build shields, what type of sports helmet will protect your ass. You know, what kind of masks do you want for dealing with various things? And, like, I saw a chart that was like, for COVID, you want this or this. For, you know, dealing with dust, this and that. For tear gas, you want this an actual gas mask. And it's really honestly fucked that that type of information needs to be circulated. And yet here we are. It's really, we live in interesting times.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. That's a word for it.
Yeah. So let's shift things a little bit. So, because we've spent literally half an hour going, ah, government. So Smash Mouth. Hey now, you've got SARS now.
My cough. Yeah. On.
Fuck off.
So, am I right in remembering that they played at the fucking motorcycle rally in South Dakota?
Yeah. So, Smash Mouth played at Sturgis, which is a 250,000 people or so go to Sturgis, one of the Dakotas, and have a motorcycle rally. And it wasn't canceled this year because they were like, well, if we cancel it, people would still show up because, you know, fuck the Rona. We're not going to give in to fear. And 250,000 people showed up and masks weren't a thing. There was concerts by Smash Mouth and Trapped, you know, those jokers, and a few other people. And now they have this data where it's like, yeah, you know, with anonymized cell data that was tracked from Sturgis has now gone to about 61% of the country. Like 61% of the counties in the country had somebody go to Sturgis and come back. And now there's been an article that was like, yeah, there's now 100 plus COVID-19 cases from the concerts and just in and around the Sturgis rally. Like it was a super, super, super spreader event. Like people are pretending like this shit still is done and it's not. And it won't be for a while now. And it sucks ass. I miss seeing people, but you still have to take precautions. So unfortunately, you know, they did warn us. They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed. And those that attended now have shapes in the L on their forehead because the COVID starts coming and don't stop coming. Hooked up on a ventilator. Hope my heart don't stop pumping. Doesn't make shit. This COVID shit not fun. My brain felt smart. Now my lungs feel dumb. Reading the Reddit thread, and it's riff of All Star, and yeah, like it sucks that, you know, no matter how good we are as like taking precautions and doing our shit, there's gonna be some asshole out there that's like, nah, I'm gonna go to the Sturgis. I'm not a queer. I don't fear COVID. And well, whoops. But yeah, Smash Mouth. They're not exactly all-stars now, are they?
No, that was just... I didn't know they were that dumb. It's actually kind of disappointing, but...
I mean, there was a number of other groups that played. It wasn't just Smash Mouth. It was just they were the biggest name there. During the Smash Mouth set, lead singer Dave Harwell had said, "Now we're all here together tonight, and we're being human once again. Fuck that COVID shit." Well, it appears that simply yelling, fuck that COVID shit, was not enough to ward off the virus. A representative of the South Dakota Health Department says they linked at least 40 COVID-19 cases directly to the rally. Meanwhile, North Dakota Department of Health tracked 17 in-state cases related to the rally and further stated that at least 103 connected cases have also spread to Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska, Washington, Wisconsin, and Wyoming.
I was really hoping that you were going to say that the health department official had actually said, well... quote unquote, fuck that COVID shit, wasn't it?
No, that was from the article.
Okay.
So 160 cases in this case, in just relating to this one thing. And that's only in the adjoining states that they have data from. That doesn't say anything about Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. Well, no, they mentioned Nebraska, but like any other states that people went to, because like I know that people go to that from all over the country. It's not just a local thing. It's a big national biker thing. You know, it's Biker Anthrocon in a horrible way. Don't go to Bike Through Con. Just doesn't seem like a good idea right now. One thing we actually didn't talk about, which is pretty funny, that came up during the protests, people were playing music on loudspeakers in Wisconsin. And
okay, I remember where you're going.
Good old boy Pepper Cody had themselves their classic song, "No Cock Like Horse Cock," played over speakers to the police.
Yeah.
And Pepper today was like, "Oh yeah, you know, sure, sounds great. I give you license to play this at cops. It's funny."
Yeah, go for it.
It also, in a way, makes the audio very unfriendly for news companies, so they can't, like, take your clip, short of muting it, and play it on.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
It's like playing Disney music around people that are trying to film your stuff surreptitiously, because they can't put it up on YouTube afterwards, short of muting it.
That's right.
Like, it's using copyright bullshit to well, copyright or decency stuff to prevent people from having usable stuff. So, like, just keep, you know, a couple Disney songs, keep blasting Let It Go from your phone when some asshole's trying to come in and get footage that you don't want used. Follow them around.
Yeah.
And, you know, say you just can't wait to be king and play the original version, though I don't know if there's much of a difference between that and the most recent Lion King, because I haven't seen it.
I like that after Rage Against the Machine was played at a protest, one of the guys in the band was like, well, that's why we wrote it.
It's like, hey, what was the machine that we're raising against, huh?
The dishwasher. Fucking Aquaman.
Yes.
Just, yeah, to say it that in that same tone of voice. Speaking of which, actually, I finally watched both Aquaman and Wonder Woman over the last couple of days.
So what do you think? I've seen Wonder Woman, and I thought it was pretty all right. Haven't seen Aquaman.
They were both enjoyable. Aquaman reminded me in part of the Lion King, because he's like the outcast prince, and then he has to go back and claim the throne to stop his evil brother from starting war with the surface. And Ajax pointed out that it reminded him a lot of Star Wars, because all the underwater vessels look like spaceships, and a lot of them have that very, like, the interiors are all that white aesthetic of Imperial ships, like, long hallways. And then, like, the guy playing Aquaman's dad, it was like, that guy's familiar. Where have I seen him before? And then I realized, I was like, that's Jango Fett from episode 2. And I was like, that's Jango! And Ajax was like, oh my god, you're right! But, like, and there's the, you know, the, there's this other kingdom of people under the ocean that look more fish-like. And Ajax is like, they're like the Gungans! Like Star Wars, and they have to go through the center of the planet. That's like Star Wars, and the whole planet looks like Naboo. And we're like, maybe this director really wanted to make a Star Wars movie, and they wouldn't let him. So he was like, I'm going to put all this Star Wars shit into fucking Aquaman.
I mean, Star Wars is not exactly a new story, but yeah, that's...
It wasn't even really the story. It was very much the aesthetic of a lot of parts of it were very Aquaman. Reason I haven't gotten around to Wonder Woman, World War I time frame, I just didn't really feel like watching a movie in that setting, and I haven't really been in the mood for that type of thing ever since it came out in, like, 2017 or something like that. But honestly, the reason I watched it is because the two trailers for Wonder Woman 84 got me, like, super hyped. Like, that movie looks really fucking good. And the second one doesn't even have the, you know, all the 80s music and stuff in it, but it has full-on furry. You know, the villain in it is Cheetah. And it just looks really good. And I was like, okay, I guess I should go watch, like, her origin movie. And it was okay. You know, it's watchable. You know, not like my favorite movie, but, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the most recent thing that we've watched our way through is we watched the first season of Umbrella Academy on Netflix. Came out last year or so. We saw that it was, well, the second season was available, so I was like, oh shit, well, we gave that a shot and watched the first season, and it's quite enjoyable. Like, if you want to sit down and watch sort of a dysfunctional superhero family.
Okay. I remember watching season one, but I guess it's been like 2 years now or something. So I would definitely have to either rewatch it or hope that the recap that they'll inevitably have will remind me of enough of it to enjoy.
There is a recap that's like previously on Umbrella Academy, and then like what happens at the end of season one plays. And then... Other than that, we've actually not been watching a ton of stuff that I can, like, immediately draw on. The new season of Lucifer is out. New season of Agrisuka dropped today. So, like, there's been some fun media drops there. And there'll, of course, be fresh fresh crops of pornography of those characters too, because
oh, totally. Yeah.
There's a new unicorn character, and Finico and Retsuko are into him apparently. Ooh.
Oh.
So you know, fresh crop of stuff there.
Yeah.
Trying to think of like what else. I mean, I'm playing a bunch of Final Fantasy, just existing. Like, there's not a huge amount of stuff that I'm like. That I'm actively recalling is something worth talking about. Like, the most recent thing that I sat down and watched a lot of was Summer Games Done Quick, the online-only version of it. And they raised $2.3 million for Doctors Without Borders. I mean, that was cool.
That's pretty cool.
Even more money gets to go toward the donation because they didn't have a physical location. They didn't have to rent a hotel ballroom for a week, you know? So, well, probably technically 9 days. So, yeah, like, they did a really good job with still being able to do their online event, with working with people in disparate time zones and different areas. Like, they made it so that it was more accessible in a way, because you could submit a run from anywhere, and as long as you had good internet, you could do your run and coordinate with them to do it. You didn't have to come to the event and physically do it in person.
Well, the thing I did last weekend, I signed up for Megaplex Online, which was $15 for the online version, and I donated some money to charity. I sat and I watched a late night panel on, I think, Friday. It was Legal Horror Stories, presented by the Furry Bar Association, which had 9 furry lawyers on it. There's a lot more than that in the Bar Association, but there were 9 of them on the screen. And that was very amusing. And I also checked out like how they had set up their they're not just doing it over like Twitch or Picardo and stuff like that. They actually appear to have paid for a service to use to do this. But it looked like it was working pretty well. Like, the vendors could like put up a video, you could embed a YouTube video or something like that, or you could also stream directly to the site. So if you were like an artist, you know, you could do like an art stream, you take commissions right there on the site. You know, they had I think some of the crafters were streaming their working and stuff like that, and of course you have a link to your online store if you've got an Etsy or your own website or whatnot, which seemed to be one of the better ways I had seen an online con handle the vendors. Because for the most part, what I've seen from the vendors is it basically ends up just being a links page with banner ads to all of the dealers that would have been there. It, you know, it doesn't really net you very much. From people I've heard about that have actually, like, attended other online cons and put forth some effort to it, it sounds like you'd have to put a lot of time in to promote it, and it's like, does that really help you any more than just promoting your own website and getting the same amount of return? I don't know. It's definitely a new frontier in furry convention dealing. From what I've seen, the Megaplex one was pretty good. The reason I mentioned this is you reminded me of it when you mentioned charity, and Megaplex had still raised... it's either $7,500 or $9,500 for their charity, even in an online-only year. So I was like, well, that was pretty good, you know? So, like, a lot of the charities that FurryCon support, their income has dropped because, you know, there aren't people going out to take tours and stuff like that, and plus a lot of people have lost their jobs right now, and money's tight all around. So the fact that some of our online cons can still raise a significant sum for the charities they support is really cool. That probably helps out a lot.
Yeah, that really is good, because, you know, I was honestly really concerned about what the donation would hit for SGDQ, because I think last year they crossed right over 3 million, but you know, everybody's in a bit more of a dire situation. So, you know, where was it going to be? And it did seem like things were pretty slow to start, but they did catch up and crossed the 2.3 million threshold, which is good. I mean, like, any money that's raised for Doctors Without Borders is nice. And so, like, seeing that an online event wasn't, I mean, it wasn't as successful as an in-person event was, because you don't have the crowd, you know, cheering in the background when the big donations are announced to get the people on the hype train. It was purely in the chat. Like, there are some different mm-hmm. dynamics, but it was good that they still got it done. Like, they put together a full week's worth of stuff and raised a bunch of money for charity. And that's like, CorpseCon was another furry online event that I think raised $17,000 for a UK trans charity or an Irish trans charity. There's been numerous online events since then that have done, you know, raised more than you would expect for charity, because, well, people don't have con money right now because they're not going to conventions. They can possibly redirect some of that money into charitable events for our community and for people within our community.
Like, yeah,
the raising 17 grand for a trans charity in the UK. I mean, well, the UK is not doing so hot for the transes right now.
Yep.
And so it seems like Twitter's having itself a moment. Seems like it might be down, which honestly, it deserves it.
It's like, would that be a bad thing?
Honestly,
and no. The only problem is when we're trying to find stats on shit, and it's like, the one time we need it, Twitter is down.
But yeah, unfortunately, I have not been contributing much to the furry economy as of late, though I could. It's just been a matter of, like, what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I bought a bunch of furry masks.
That's good.
Well, actually, hey, here's something you can turn around. Hey, Fuzz, you know, here's a way that people could contribute to the furry economy, is that Kyle put a new book out, and you did book launch. You want to talk about that?
We did a. I actually got this idea from listening to a writer podcast that Merle Afferty and Matt Wallace do. It's called Ditch Diggers, which it's more based on the business side of writing. Anyway, Matt was did an online event for his latest book, and I was like, sounds like a neat idea. It seems fairly simple to do. So I thought, why don't we stream this on one of the streaming sites? Ended up going with Picardo, because Rukus already has a like premium or whatever account, which allows her to invite in other streamers and have a multicast stream.
Cool.
So the idea was that Kyle and Rukus would be streaming on a channel. Kyle would do a reading from a portion of the book, and then I suggested that Kyle and Rukus discuss their collaborative relationship, basically, because this is the 10th book that the two of them have collaborated on, which is fairly momentous. They've been doing this for several years, you know, since the end of the Out of Position series, and she did all three Dangerous Spirits books as well. And then it was like, we'll take questions from the audience. And I was in the audience, and I was just copy-pasting the questions that were coming up into a Telegram chat that we were all sharing, so that then instead of having to hunt through the whole chat, they could just go to the one channel and be like, oh, here's all the questions.
It's like, this is a good one.
It took a little while to set up, because I'd never done it before. I was originally supposed to be streaming and as well, but we got, like, early on, we were getting, like, a lot of weird looping effects and echoing and stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder if it's me, because I've never done this before and I'm using FaceRig. And I was like, okay, I'm going to shut all my shit down. And then they still had some issues, but they eventually got it worked out. Funny enough, what they ended up having to do was Kyle and Rukus had a phone call via Telegram, and then Rukus piped the audio of their phone conversation into Picardo, and because they couldn't get the audio working correctly over the stream for whatever reason. So there was like some weird technical glitches and stuff like that, but we eventually got it worked out. You know, the fans got to watch everyone try to not make a mess of things for like a half hour before we, you know, got down to business and actually started talking about books. But yeah, so that actually went well. I think we had like 35 people watching the stream, which I mean is like, that would fill a panel room at a con. So, you know, that seemed all right to me. It sold pretty well on the website. Kyle did these, he had these little things called book plates printed up, I think I mentioned before. They're basically just stickers that have a space in the middle that the author signs. And then I pack those in with the book. And the person can either just keep it or they can stick it somewhere on the book. I didn't pre-stick them because I was like, I know I'm going to fuck one of them up or warden one of them and leave a wrinkle or tear a page or something like that. And
yeah.
People may or may not want it. Maybe someone on the inside of the front cover. Maybe some people want it on the title page. I don't know. So I just said, fuck it. And I just slid them in there and I'll let people put it wherever they want on it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
It's a good compromise on not being able to be at a con, meet the fans, and sign the books for them in person, you know? At least some people got to hear a reading and ask some questions, and they'll still get a signature, you know, even if it's, it can be personalized, because he signed them all and he mailed me the little package of them. So, you know, we're having to adjust some of how we handle things for the year that we're in. And on that front, Anthro New England, which is a convention that takes place usually in February up in New England, just canceled. So that makes it at least the third con between January and February to cancel already. So just to reiterate that because the United States is so far behind in our COVID response, and that even with a vaccine, it's going to take a while for that to roll out, with anti-vaxxers and QAnon conspiracy people to contend with, I don't think it's going to be safe for gatherings of FurryCon size for at least all of 2021. That'd be my prediction. Even, like, I mean, fucking 21 people got sick at a Starbucks, you know? So even, like, a 200-person event is going to be an insane disease vector at this point. So.
Oh, relating to the events, whatever, basically Ponyville Cider Fest was like the last holdout of like any fandom conventions that I was super aware of. That was mainly because they had to get out of it via force majeure, but they finally were able to cancel it and be like, all right, we're online only. The con chair was very salty about that fact, but I'm also just like, dude, you don't want to run an event at this time. You really don't.
I didn't think he was salty so much as disappointed that it came to that, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know the guy that well, but it just came across as just like, ugh, thanks to the fucking COVID idiots. And it's like, well, you really don't want to get people together for a convention right now. Like, all it takes is one asshole who shows up, you know, we get mad at people who would come to the con with flu or a cold.
Yeah.
Now
I consider that,
you know, with fucking SARS-2, which is what COVID is. So
the other thing I got from the con's tweet was it kind of implied that it wasn't free. Like, it implied that it had cost them some money. So I was sort of wondering if maybe they didn't get out due to force majeure. Maybe it was just sort of like, well, we live in a dumb state and you're not canceling, so we have to cancel. We have to basically get out of contract and pay the fine.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not on the staff and I don't know the people, but just the way it was worded kind of seemed like felt like it took a financial hit, but, you know, it's better than a con having to cancel is better than the whole organization going under. I feel like there was another con that got, that had to cancel too. I don't remember what it was, though. There's a couple that are still scheduled.
Yeah, like, there were a couple of, like, there was an anime con that happened in Florida or something a little bit ago. Like, there's still been a few cons that have yet to cancel properly and, or just haven't canceled and are going forward. So, like, there's that.
On the furry front, the furry burlesque down in Austin is still scheduled for January. I checked their Twitter and it hasn't been canceled yet, so But another event run by
forward to that. That might have been fun, but
yeah. But like, even if it's this small first year event and it's like 200 people, I'm like,
that's still 200. Still people.
Not gonna. Yeah, that's too many. It's not gonna be safe to go to. And, you know, I would feel more comfortable going to places if I trusted that everyone was smart enough to wear a mask and try to stay distant and minimize their risk. But the fact is, I mean, this is we live in a very me culture, and I just can't fucking trust people to not be idiots or be super selfish, you know? So, yeah, in short, I don't think we're going to go to any cons for a long time.
I concur, and that really sucks, and that also makes me wonder, like, how are we going to handle going to conventions? Even if, at some miraculous thing, we do manage to eradicate COVID, and people have vaccines, and it works, and it's, you know, we put it into a manageable state. And,
right.
Like, honestly, I had to go to a doctor's office, and then I had to, like, fuck with a pharmacy for a little bit, and it wasn't even around that many people, but I was out of my house for 4 hours, and I came home feeling exhausted. Like, we're all going to have some real fun brain fuckery to cope with once this is all done. Because it's not just any physical issues that we may have if we get COVID and, you know, limitations that are caused by it, but just the mental tax of having survived this period where anybody is a potential vector and you can only trust the people closest to you. And even then, well, someone's got to go to the grocery store, right?
So, yeah.
You know, it's like we have to have these little bits of risk in our day, and any one of them could get us, you know? And so, like, once it gets to the point that it is manageable, whomst among us is really going to want to go to a 10,000 person furry convention again, a 30,000 person anime con? Like,
yeah,
I love conventions and miss them dearly, but if going out to Target in a not even super busy store stresses me out, imagine being in a vendor hall trying to sell porn to 10,000 people.
Yeah, here's my concern also, is that so far the science is saying that this isn't going to be like polio and measles, where we come up with a vaccine, we vaccinate the majority of the population, and over time, the disease almost completely goes away. Like, we're on the verge of getting rid of cholera and polio worldwide, just because so much of the population is vaccinated and people don't really get it anymore in a large part of the world. But the way it's looking is that it's more like the flu or the cold, in that there are multiple strains of it, and there could be new strains coming out all the time or every season. So you can get your flu shot, and you're covered for the 9 that came out last year, but you're not covered for the 10th one that came out this year. Like, you could get vaccinated for COVID-19, but you're not vaccinated for COVID-20 and COVID-21 and, you know, all the other ones that they'll discover as time goes by. That wouldn't be as concerning if it wasn't three times as bad as the flu, you know? Yeah. Like, okay, I get a flu shot, something might get in, and especially as I get older, maybe I'll be more prone to getting the flu. But in the 21st century, the flu is highly survivable if live in a country with decent health care, and even in America, even if it ended up costing me a fortune, as long as my body mostly cooperated, I could probably survive the flu, even if I ended up in the hospital. But with the severity of COVID, and people are like, oh, well, the majority of them are in old people, and it's like, yeah, and barring anything else happening to you, you'll be 60 one day, you'll be 70 one day. Right? And if you end up with having to get, if you end up getting COVID like 2 or 3 times, you know, if it leaves lasting effects, that's going to shorten your lifespan. And if you luckily avoid COVID through a series of a combination of being careful and getting vaccinated on the recommended schedule whenever that's available. The one time you might get it might be at the age of, like, 75, and then it might kill you. And I don't know if they're looking at studying, I don't think they have enough data to really consider this now, but my worry is, what if this sort of stalls the human life expectancy? Or starts rolling it back?
I mean, we've already seen life expectancy in the United States drop. Like, yeah, I think we've already seen it drop a little bit.
We're like 2 years behind every other developed nation. Other countries are pushing 80. We're at like 78 point something. And I'm like, what if COVID starts, you know, like, oh, person was 70, they got COVID, they died, you know, and that just keeps happening. And this is just around forever like the flu and constantly mutating like that. And you keep getting shots, and it won't protect you 100%. And then when you're 65, that's the one that gets you. You know? Am I being paranoid here? This is kind of the feeling I'm getting reading some of the articles that are coming out about what they think this virus does at this point. Hi, dog.
Oh, it's like, Adam's not making noise. Oh, your dog. Okay. My dog is in his bed curled up.
My dog just opened the door to the patio and waved hello to me.
My dog, Adam, has been a very good cuddle buddy the last couple days. Like, he's been very clingy. He's like, you're feeling bad, and your brain sucks, so I'm going to cling to you. And so he's been a very good cuddle buddy in the morning. So, like, I'll wake up, and this morning, I just kind of laid there, pet him for, like, an hour while looking at my phone and going, ugh, why am I doing this? I'm looking at the bad screen. Why should I wake up and I should go to my other computer and look at the worst screens.
You know? Right.
So I'm just kind of laying there, petting the
phone. The small internet is suppressing me. I know, let me log on and look at the big internet.
I'm going to close this Twitter tab, open a new tab, accidentally click on the Twitter link. Oh no.
Yeah.
I went to go click on E621, not Twitter. God damn it. The icons are right next to each other.
Why would you do that?
This Twitter page sucks. I'm going to open a new Twitter page. But yeah, like, life expectancy since 2010 has gone up by 0.1 years and has been stagnant for the past six. So 78.9, it says, is life expectancy in the United States. Which, I mean, in 1956, it was 69.4 years, which...
Okay, so nice. Yeah, that's a decent gain in that time frame.
So, hey, here's an interesting stat, which will be interesting to see reflected in our times, too. So, in 1915, the average life expectancy in the United States was 55.1 years.
Uh-huh.
1916, it was 54. 1917, it was 54. 1918, 47.2. There was a life expectancy drop during this particular event during 1917, 1918.
Wow. Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see a reflection of that in the United States. Because
that's what I'm saying. That's what I worry about.
180,000 people dead at this point. And
yeah,
it's not as many as in the flu pandemic of 1917-1918. But we also still haven't done shit about it. So give it time.
Yeah.
Whew.
I wonder if we hit 200,000 before the election. Not that that's a goal or anything. I'm just kind of like big round number, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was a tweet I saw. It was like, more people have died in the last 2 days of the RNC than died on 9/11. And we invaded a country and killed 1 million Iraqis for that. So
we need to invade Corona, wherever that is.
Oh, God. This is related to that, though. I swear to God, I saw some right-wing pundit basically talking about how, Iraq started with looting and riots in the street, and that's how...
Oh,
and I'm like, what event happened in Iraq that might have led to civil unrest after the fact? I don't know, maybe some big-dicked country decided to come in and shit all over their fragile little military. You know, this literally is a, you know, who caused this? Fucking Aquaman? No, this is... you're trying to be like, oh, well, Iraq had riots and stuff. Yes, because we came in and murdered their government. Oh, it was just like, I saw this, and they were, of course, getting excoriated by their replies, but still, it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But, just wow.
Yep. here's a cool thing right now. The current free games on the Epic Game Store this week are the Hitman Collection and the Shadowrun Collection.
Okay.
Both games involve you fighting the man and or assassinating wealthy fuckheads. So, if you would like to have a bit of catharsis, you can go be Hitman and kill rich fuckers, or play the very good Shadowrun games. It is the base game of Shadowrun Returns, Shadowrun Dragonfall, and Shadowrun Hong Kong Extended Edition.
That's cool.
Looking at it, and it's like, it says base game, but it's like, I don't see any DLC available for purchase. So there's some free games that you can get some of that out. The Shadowrun Collection is...
You should check that shit out.
Yeah, get some free video games. This is good until September 3rd. So you have a few days of listening to this to grab those games and, murder some rich motherfuckers in their mansions in their sleep with an exploding golf ball, or just throw a can of beans at their head really, really hard. You can do that. You can just walk
in Shadowrun.
You can kick in the door, throw a fire axe, and just chop a dude's skull in half in Shadowrun.
Oh my god, all these fucking financial account Twitters that are like, Jeff Bezos is the first person to ever be worth $200 billion. And they're like tweeting it like it's a good thing.
That's and not I'm just a good like, thing.
Like,
then, of course, you also saw that people set up a guillotine outside as one of his many houses in the protest.
Did they? That's funny.
I mean, it was a flimsy little fake guillotine. It wouldn't actually chop someone's head off, but the thought that counts.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right. I'm just like, how in a year of civil unrest, police violence, a pandemic, and a dictator in the White House, how would you think in this year of all years to be like, wow, this rich guy just hit a rich guy milestone, you know? And like,
this man,
motherfucker, you are adding fuel to the fire, you know?
You know, this guy is Smaug. He is a dragon sleeping across enormous wealth that he'll never use. And he and his family will never have to work again in our current society. You know, Ajax retweeted a thing that was like, you know, let me find it real quick. Being poor is expensive. I get so angry whenever I think about what amounts of money would be so life-changing for so many. Such small amounts compared to what's hoarded by the wealthy, it's infuriating. And it's like, Jeff Bezos, woo, $200 fucking billion, woo. Yeah, you should really maybe think about redistributing some of that before people just kick in your front door and guillotine you in the street. So, hey, we have been going past an hour, and we are just like,
Yeah, we went back to rage. We had like a brief furry diversion, and then we went back to rage. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of good to talk about right now. I mean, we all know that, and that's part of why we haven't been podcasting, is because, like, we don't want them to be 100% all the time.
Honestly, I finished my day at work, and there are a lot of days, and particularly Thursday, because it's late in the week, where I just feel just utterly just cored out, you know? Just hollow. And I'm just like, I don't want to be angry for an hour, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I wish we could talk about other things. And we talked about this the other night, and it's sort of like, I feel like we're in between a rock and a hard place. Because it's like, if we were just going to be like, ooh, woo, no politics, and just, we're not going to talk about anything that's actually going on in the world that's affecting real people, we're just going to talk about nice, fun, happy stuff. That is such a fucking white privilege bullshit thing to do that I would feel wrong in doing that, you know? But then, talking about the state of the world and what's happening week after week after week is incredibly mentally draining at the same time. And so, I mean, I try to spread the word. I retweet. I donate. We encourage people to vote on the show, and I'm just trying to figure out how to strike a balance, I guess, of this not being just another hour of Twitter, you know, read out loud.
And honestly, like, I've had to cut back on some of the podcasts I'm listening to because it's just too goddamn infuriating to listen to some of this shit. And so I said, like, hey, I can't put what I want, what I really want to say on Twitter because I'll just get banned, you know? And so it is finding that balance and trying to manage the rage. Like, it was really weird. Like, I don't, last night, I didn't sleep great because my brain just felt like I had white noise static playing in it all night. I'm sure that people have had that where it's like, you just feel so done with the day, but you forgot to turn off the TV, so it's just white noise. So, anyways, hey, podcasts, we're still alive for the time being.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll continue to stay that way.
You know, maybe write in with some topics that you want to hear us talk about, you know, just to mix things up a little bit.
Just be like, hey, give us a topic that we might opine about and discuss, because let's see, there's an email from the 14th, it's like, southpawscast@gmail.com is the podcast thing, the podcast email, southpawscast@gmail.com. It's like, hi, I'm Jake, I'm a listener to the podcast, love the recent episode about bisexual men, as a bi man myself, it made me feel visible, thank you! Awesome. Thank you. Bisexually so overlooked in a race to have an episode request, it's not furry related, but would love to hear you coming out story and learning how you knew you were bi. He sent like three emails.
Okay.
But they're all like drafts of the same thing. But yeah, like,
do you want to make next week like a how did you figure out your sexuality episode? Maybe like we'll encourage some people to write in.
Yeah, that would be good. And so like next week's topic,
do it
right into the show, southpawscast@gmail.com. And, like, how you figured yourself out. And the thing is, for a lot of folks, you figure yourself out later in life, or even you think where you're at, and then you evolve over time. And that's interesting, too. So, you know, like, where has your journey taken you through your life, if you want to share that with us? Southpawscast@gmail.com. Southpawscast@gmail.com. As for us, you can find us on Twitter. I see you occasionally retweet some things, Fuzz. To not keep the Twitter account completely dead.
Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter, mainly tweeting pictures of Adam and or screenshots of Final Fantasy XIV as of late, mixed in with the occasional, politics, at Saverin Drake.
Why don't you just follow For Planet, where the only thing I really tweet is if we're doing a sale or a new book and or something book or furry writing related. And, you know, if you want to be sad with me, you can follow my Fuzzwolf Twitter account. But, oh, you know what? Here's something. Let me find the name of the site, because I've completely forgotten. But, so there's a new furry website that's out there.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's, I want to say it's called Furry Life. Life? That a website? No, that reroutes to Pocus Sexy. That's not right.
That doesn't sound like the new art site.
No, it doesn't. God damn it. Hold on. They tweeted at me the other day when I was like, hey, I want to set up my account. Let me find it. Oh, God, I feel like such an idiot right now. I'm just like, hey, check out this thing. I have completely forgotten the name of it.
It's okay, Fuzz. All right. Power of editing.
It's furrylife.online. I was actually right about the name. I just forgot the URL. Don't go to furry.life. That takes you to pokemon.sexy, which is probably full of viruses. So I should probably like put my phone in the microwave or something to clear it out. Furrylife.online. So it's a new website. Alternative, you know, I grabbed my username and I uploaded my icon and I figure, you know, I've got accounts on Weasel, Ink Bunny, So Furry, and Furry Network, and I never do anything with them. I'm just sort of there as a holding place. This might end up the same, but Who knows? Point is, hey, there's a new furry website out there. Would you check it out?
They're going to make their own furry website with blackjack and hookers. But no hookers.
That's right. You know, it has a couple of positives, though. Okay, that sounds like I'm denigrating it. I'm not. There's a couple of things people have noticed that are already like, oh, these are good signs. Someone in the furry writing chat was like, oh, hey, you know, they're pro-BLM and they're pro-trans rights on their Twitter account. I'm like, okay, those are good signs. When I signed up, I was like, oh, one of the fields is pronouns. And I was like, oh, that is also a good sign. You know, normalize the use of pronouns. So you can also upload multiple things at once. You can upload up to 50 megs of music file. It actually has a fairly robust-looking platform for musicians. I was actually listening to some furry drum and bass and house last night, and it's got a little player built in for that. The writers say it looks like it needs some work on the formatting and uploading of stories. But the good thing is that it seems that they're super responsive to feature requests. And it's a fairly new site, so if you go and you use it, you know, shoot them a message, you know, either through the site or on their Twitter or something like that, and see if they'll, you know, they'll be able to take your ideas on board. So that's the thing. Check it out. You know, hell, let us know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not? I mean, everybody wants to... FA has its issues, and so, you know, people are like, well, I'll make my own, and see how it goes. So,
yeah,
you know, why not?
And, you know, one of these sites has got to be able to show that it steps out from the pack and it does something interesting or innovative more than the others.
I mean, SoFurry is still pretty good on the writing front.
Yeah, SoFurry actually has the best writer experience. That's pretty much universally agreed in the writing community. FA still has the best audience, or at least the largest audience. You know, somebody was saying that they posted a story on one of the other sites, not FA or SoFurry, one of the others, like 3 years ago, and it's had like 7 views.
Oh, no.
In 3 years. So sort of like, yeah, you know, it could be the greatest site ever made. But if the audience isn't there, probably not worth your time. And that sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. If you're an independent artist, musician, writer, you need to put your efforts into where the audience is. Also, it has a whole section for streaming. So, remember for a while, FA kept just getting, like, you would go to your submissions. If you're following a lot of people, they would be absolutely flooded with streaming announcements. And they finally kind of addressed that. But this site has, like, a whole section for streaming. So maybe that's kind of a cool, cool separate thing. I think you can actually embed your stream into your page, too. So that's pretty handy. Don't quote me on that, because I may have misunderstood that, because I don't stream. But anyway, that website's a thing. Savard will put it in the show notes, along with the Telegram link, because I'll remind you to do that. The email address. And the Patreon.
Yep.
Patreon.com/SouthPodcast. It won't cost you very much this past month because the fuck it, 2020, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'll literally cost you, like, if you give us, like, $1 an episode, it'll cost you $1 this month because you get this episode. You're welcome.
Hey, you got a 30-minute Fennec episode for free. So,
yeah, I mean, you know. I just like, I don't feel good charging this because it's just short and me talking about shit. So, all right. It was a bonus episode that everybody got. We should probably wrap it up because it is 1:25 raw right now. Thanks, guys, for listening. And on that note, good night.
And wash your hands.